Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope that our new year will be as rejoice and as precious as the one that has just passed. I am going to be preaching from Psalm 72. I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 72. Given a title to the passage, Long Live the King. Comes from verse 15, but Psalm 72, Long Live the King. I'm going to read the whole of Psalm 72. Would you please follow along with me as I read the Word of God? Give the King your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your joy are poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. Verse 8, may he have dominion from sea to sea, from river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the coastlands render him tribute. And may the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. In verse 12, for he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is the blood in his sight. Verse 15, long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him, may prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be an abundance of grain in the land, on the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass in the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, all nations call him blessed. In verse 18, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. May the Lord be praised through the proclamation of his word. I don't know how much you know about this psalm. Psalm 72 is a royal psalm. There are a dozen different psalms that are entitled royal psalms, and they are all speaking in one form or another about the coming king that they were looking forward to. And in our particular time, we look back now to that royal king who is Jesus Christ. And that is what this psalm is about, that David had written. Now, it is known as a royal psalm, and it is prayed by King David in his latter years. He's about to die, and his son Solomon, who is about to become king, is writing down this prayer that his dad, King David, is praying, with these requests that he has for the royal king to come. Now, in some aspects, King Solomon, who was going to be the king within the year, it reflects him, but he in himself also reflects a type of Jesus Christ, a royal king, where there would be peace and justice throughout. And that is what this psalm is about. This psalm was a prayer that was prayed by King David as he was an old man and almost on his deathbed. David's prayer was for the royal line, his sons that would follow him, and specifically for the king who would rule his people, that he would lead his God's people with a hand of righteousness and justice. We also know that David's son, Solomon, was credited with writing this down. And so it is a direct quote that he is hearing from his dad, and he hears his dad praying for him and for the royal son that will come, that will be, as the passage will speak about, who will live and rule forever. So Solomon knows it's not about him, because it's in the text. Also, this psalm is breaking up, for those of you who like outlines and helps you to think things through, this psalm is broken up into five segments, the prayers of five different things. And notice with me, it's verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7 speak about the king's administration. It's his administration as the righteous royal son. So that's what the prayer is going to be covering on the first verses. It's the king's administration of the righteous royal son. How will he rule? The next part has to do with the king's sovereignty in the eyes of all people. Verses 8 through 11. This king is going to be sovereign, and the people who are looking to him will see him as ruling forever, that he is sovereignly ruling everyone in all things. And that's verses 8 through 11. The next one is 12 through 14. And this has to do with the king's perpetual benevolence to the poor and the needy. David recognizes that this king is ruling somebody, and he calls them the poor and the needy. And then in verses 15 through 17, speak about the coronation of the gifts. We, the people who are serving the king, it's the coronation and recognizing him as being that ruler. And then he closes in verses 18 through 20 with a doxology and referring to the king and giving him praise and glory and honor that is rightfully his. So let's start here back up in verse 1, which speaks about the justice and righteous character of the king who is about to reign. And he should be, and this should be part of the king's character, that is, that as he enacts his kingly rule. This is what it's about. This is the verse. Notice verse 1. Give the king your justice, O God. This is David praying, give this king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. Now, King David started this prayer request with years of good and bad experiences in mind. By this time, he has already ruled 40 years. He was in Hebron for 7, and the next 33 years in Jerusalem, a total of 40 years. But his experiences over that 40 years is quite varied, with a lot of wars, and in his first early years, we know that he had a lot of difficulties. Do you remember with me how David had run from King Saul? Saul, after David defeated Goliath, that there was a big banquet. As they entered into the city of Jerusalem, the ladies all ran out and they were singing a chorus. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. What does this do to King Saul in his mind? It makes him jealous. And so he gets ticked off, and at the big banquet, Saul takes a spear and tries to peg David to the wall. And David obviously says, feet don't fail me now, and I'm out of here. And he runs away, and Saul pursued him for 7 years. And what had happened also, if to help understand this, that meant when David was running, Saul took all of his family's money and their wealth. His dad and his mom and their sheep and everything else, they took that. So now the family and all their relations are poor because the king is trying to get back at David. So does David remember this now in this time of his life, in this prayer? So what we're hearing from here is God had also given David a promise before he actually defeated Goliath in this whole issue, and it's found in 1 Chronicles 17 and verses 10 through 14. I'll read the passage to you. Now, David remembers this. He was told this before he became king. Moreover, I declare to you that the Lord will build you a house. When your days are fulfilled to walk with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you. One of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from him who was before you, which is King Saul. But I will confirm him in my house and in my kingdom forever. And his throne shall be established forever. We obviously know that is not Solomon. It is speaking about the coming Christ. Now, this was very important to King David, and it never left the forefront of his mind while he was king and ruling the nation of Israel. It's really, really obvious, isn't it, when we start reading through this passage in Psalm and how he's speaking about his prayers on his deathbed. Now, by the time David prays this prayer, David was that old man, and he remembers the promise that was given to him from 40 or 50 years before, that one of his sons would sit on the eternal throne, 1 Chronicles 17, 14, and that son will reign under God's steadfast love. And so as David opens his prayer request was for this royal son to rule. How? How was he going to rule? How did he want him to rule? Justly and righteously. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son, whom we know is Jesus Christ. David's first concern was for his royal son, that he would not rule his kingdom with a rod of iron and abuse, but instead with justice for all and with righteousness for all, not showing partiality to just a few select social higher people in the society, people that could push their wealth into his coffers, but that he would be just and righteous to us, the common people, who could never ever repay the king. And David's concern is for them, and that his son, this royal son, would be concerned for the poor and the needy. But David saw and lived this firsthand. He was running from King Saul. His wealth, his family wealth was gone. Everything that he had was gone now. He's running around the desert, hiding from King Saul for over 7 years. And there was over 450 people from his family that were running with him, trying to stay alive during those years. Do you think David remembers this? That he's running from a king who was Saul, who was abusive. And what is his prayer now for his son? That his son would not be abusive, but that he would be just towards those people who were poor, like him. They were shepherds. They weren't royalty. His family wasn't royalty. They were farmers. And he says that he wants them to be just and righteous. So as he runs through this, he also has another thing that had happened to him. Just before this, he writes this prayer out, or Solomon writes this prayer out. One of his other sons, Absalom, was trying to take over the kingdom. And Absalom had quietly sat outside the city gates, and it was trying to turn the people away from his dad. And him and David's closest advisor, a guy named Ahithophel, turned around and turned the nation against David in his latter years, and there was a great revolt, and they came in and took the city of Jerusalem while David was running out the back door. He remembers this thing, and because after that, a couple months later, they turn around and they were back in Jerusalem, and his son had fallen, and Ahithophel as well. David remembers these things when there was abuse against him and an unjust ruling that was going on. And so he remembers these things, and so in his prayer, what is he concerned for? The poor and the needy. And so after 40 years, David's first prayer requests were that justice and righteousness would come to this royal leader, and who would remain in political and spiritual power and lead his people. Notice what it says in verses 2 through 4, that he may judge your people with righteousness and the poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. Justice and righteousness are needed, and they are spiritual qualities for people who are leading, and in particular for this eternal royal son who would lead his people. And this is the coming king that they were looking forward to, that he would judge fairly, that he would defend the poor, that he would deliver the needy, and he would crush the oppressor. These are all good, godly, spiritual qualities which the coming king will need, and that is exactly why King David prayed these qualities would come to this king. Well, there's a second prayer request also, and it starts actually in verses 8 through 11. And this has to do with this sovereign, and that all will see him as sovereign. This is the second request of David, that he was asking God to extend the reign of his coming righteous king over the whole earth. Not just Jerusalem, but over the whole earth, with the result being that kings and nations would come and observe him and worship him and give him the just due that was due him. Notice what it says in verses 8 through 11. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the coastlands render him tribute. May the king of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. Well, the first place we hear this happening, where we're seeing this in a type form, it was with King Solomon. And we read that earlier this morning during our call to worship, which was 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, where we see the Queen of Sheba coming to Solomon, who is a type of Christ, bringing great wealth. And it says nothing else had ever been seen like this happened before. Where she came and was amazed at his wisdom, his knowledge, and what his people had, and how they were blessed by being under his just and righteous rule. Well, that was one account of this happening. What's the account that we're looking for? It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, in verses 1 through 3, and also in verse 11. And I'll read that for you. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and verse 11. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, or also known as kings, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is to be born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. And what did these guys do? They fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what was this? This is that the men would see from the world, different men from different nations, and we're seeing this happen with the three wise men coming to Christ at His birth. It was a fulfillment of this passage. And ever since that time, kings from many different nations have come to worship this royal king. Now, I don't know how many of you know your history, world history or church history, but there was something that happened back in 1530. This is one of the most famous times in history when kings had come to worship Christ the King, and it was during the Reformation. It's the Protestant Reformation, which took place in a period of 1515 through 1555. In specific, there was a guy, and his name was Luther, Martin Luther, and there was another guy who was his close friend, who was actually a greater scholar than Luther was, though Luther was more the flint that would start the fire. There was a guy named Philip Melanchthon. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. During what these two men had done is they wrote a document stating who they were and what they were, as in the Reformation. It was a confession. And unless at that time, under governmental law, unless something was stated during a political meeting before the king, it was not law and it was not recognized. And so what had happened in 1530, there was something called the Diet at Augsburg. Now, diet does not mean they were not eating. It is a Latin word that means general assembly. There was a general assembly of the political leaders in Augsburg, and they came together and they called it the Diet at Augsburg. Well, what you and I need to know is that for years now, at that time, Martin Luther had been preaching and proclaiming throughout Germany the gospel, as in opposed to what the Catholics had been presenting the gospel message. He was saying, no, it has nothing to do with your good works. It has all to do with the grace of the royal king, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he turns to you, the poor, which we'll see in a minute, that's when you go, oh wow, he is the king. Your eyes are spiritually open. Well, at that time, Luther had been preaching to the princes in Germany. And at the Diet of Augsburg, when Melanchthon made the proposal to the king said no. Well, the princes or the kings of Germany that was under the one king literally stepped forward, bowed down, and said, we want this to be read here. And if it is not, you can have our head. I don't know how many of us would step forward and have that. I mean, they literally did it. And the king relented. And the document, the confession, was read at the Diet of Augsburg in 1530, where kings worshipped the great royal king, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was acknowledged in the nation of Germany. And that is what started what we know of today as the Great Reformation, when it was an official time period recognized by political rulers. Now, does that mean everybody of the political rulers worshipped? No. But what it does is it points a time in history where we can see God is working in people's lives and people in high authority. And Scripture, David, back in 1400 B.C., prayed that this son, this royal son, would be worshipped by kings and worldwide. Do we see people literally around the world today who are worshiping the king? It is coming about. We are seeing it. The kingdom of God is growing, as in we know in Matthew, it describes it as yeast, and it is spreading out piece by piece, and it is flourishing, and it is moving upon the face of the earth, and men and women from every nation is coming to worship the royal king. They are bowing the knee. And this psalm is being fulfilled in our presence today. It is being fulfilled in your presence when you speak up and you talk to a friend. You talk to a loved one. And you share Christ with them. You're saying, how are you doing? And they tell you, oh, my marriage is in ruin. And then you start talking to them and sharing how Christ can help change them and change their life and change their marriage. Oh, I'm having a hard time at work and I can't seem to get ahead. Well, when you share Christ with them, you can tell them this is how you will be eternally ahead. Not just monetarily in this world, but you will have change that is an eternal change. That changes you forever, where you, as we have talked this morning, Russ, our treasures are laid up in heaven, not here on earth. Because you worship the royal king. Notice with me, in our next part, this is what the royal king does for you. It's found in verses 12 through 14. That he would provide deliverance and redemption for the poor and the needy throughout the world and all time. Verse 12. For he, referring to the royal king, delivers the needy when he calls the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and he saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life. And precious is their blood in his sight. David prayed that this coming king would truly deliver his people, not just the wealthy and the renowned, but all people alike. Like the poor, who would never be able to repay the deliverance price for their souls. But in return, would be eternally grateful for what he has done for them. And then there is the needy. Those who are eternally needy, for their souls need redemption. These are truly the needy from all generations. And only the universal or eternal king can provide for people worldwide and multi-generational. What king who is only going to live under 100 years help people from generation to generation? How can his rule change things from generation to generation? It can't. It only lasts less than 100 years. And then he dies and someone else steps in and he makes his rules. But whose rules will continue on for eternity? The royal sons. The royal son that David was promised. And he has come. And he is ruling. He's ruling in the hearts and the lives of everyone who takes them when they bow their knee and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is now your king. He is the one who rules you. You read his word and you ask him to open your eyes so that you can understand him better, so you can worship him better, so you can be more obedient to him. He is ruling your life, and he rules through his word that he has left behind for us so that we can worship him and worship him well. Only the universal king can do these things. Who can deliver the poor? Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Didn't say of earth. It's the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. How about deliver the weak and the needy? Hebrews 12:12-13. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight the paths of your feet, so that the limb which is lame may be put that was put out may be healed. How is it healed? He's not talking about a broken arm. He's talking about your soul being broken, and he will make it right. That is the weak and the needy. He saves the lives of the needy. Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said to them, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. This kind of benevolence that is reached out and touches us, we are the poor. We are the needy. And he has touched our lives. He has changed us from the inside out. You are no longer poor. You are now rich in spirit because you have the third person of the Trinity indwelling you. And He has enriched you with one of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity. And He has made you alive, eternally alive, universally alive. He has changed us to be more than we could ever be ourselves. He is the eternal and the royal King who changes us and causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. Now, what do we do as a response to this? The passage has to do with verses 15 through 17. It's the King's royal coronation. Long live the King. And listen what we cry out. This is our prayer. Long may He live. Makes sense, wouldn't it? If He's ruling our lives, who do you want to rule you? The eternal Son of God, the royal King. May the gold of Sheba be given to Him. It's an echo of what Bathsheba had given to Him. The most amount that had ever been given to Solomon, a type of a Christ. May prayer be made to Him continually. Wouldn't that make sense? That we be constantly before the throne of grace, crying out, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth is for Your glory. And blessing evoked upon Him all day long. Wouldn't it be great that we would be praising God all day long for who He is and what He has done for us, being the great Creator Himself? Verse 16, may there be abundance of grain in the land on the tops of the mountains, and may it wave, may it be fruitful like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. We're talking about, since He's the great provider, wouldn't it be great, since He has provided everything for life and godliness, that we pray that He would continue to rule our lives and continue to pray that He would be the one who would give us the provision that we need? Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever and ever. This is what David was praying, and we hear it again back in Matthew. That He would rule over you and provide for you in everything that you need. Verse 17, may His name endure forever and His fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in Him. All nations call Him blessed. And we have seen that today. His name has endured. It will continue to endure. May His fame for being the Redeemer continue to be known. May you and I proclaim it to other people who are the poor and the needy, unless you think you're too good for that. We don't, because we realize we are the poor and the needy. We needed redemption, and we want to share that with the other poor and the needy. We reach out because we realize that's what the Redeemer desires. The royal King is for the poor. He is for the needy. He is just and He is righteous. He doesn't overlook us just because we are not of great renown. That He would be blessed and all the nations call Him blessed. And we are seeing that happen even in our day. We are seeing it happen around the world in different nations, even those closed nations. We are seeing it where people are coming to Christ, where the gospel is not legally being preached according to governmental rule. We are seeing it being brought in by people who are faithful and who are willing to die to share it with other poor and needy people. This prayer, long live the King. For the poor and the needy, we should be ecstatic with the King because He rules your life. You are under His skirts. You are under His protection. You are under His authority. And He has given you eternal life to be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's prayer request was that the people of God who have been redeemed by this royal son would understand what has happened to them and what is going on around them, and that we would respond appropriately. This prayer is for a royal king who would come and bring abundance with him. Has he brought abundance to you? I'm not talking about a wallet that's thicker. Has he brought abundance to you? Has he brought abundance of spiritual life, spiritual understanding? Has he taken care of you physically? Has there been a greater abundance? Yes. But we have to think biblically, not what our own imagination is, considering what we might consider abundance. What does Scripture call abundance? And Christ has brought that. Christ has brought abundance to his people. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Christ came that I may bring life and bring it abundantly. The Apostle Paul, talking with people in Corinth who were wrestling with these issues. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings..." Well, that doesn't sound too thrilling, does it? I'm going to be suffering just like Christ. But it is. Because you are following in the footsteps of Christ. "So through Christ we share abundantly in comfort also." When he's talking to the brothers and sisters in Ephesus, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church," that's us, the ecclesia, the called out ones, "and in Christ Jesus through all generations." Our royal king reaches all generations, multi-generational, forever and ever. Amen. This is the royal biblical king whom we serve. The one who has brought eternal life and given it to us abundantly. We need to pray for Jesus Christ to continue to pour out his blessings on us and on those who are the poor and the needy who need Christ, so his name and fame would continue on forever. You and I are passing on his name and his fame to whomever God has brought into your life, be it friends or loved ones. This is how God's people are blessed by the royal Son of God. This is why we sing out, "Long live the King." And as David closes in his psalm, he closes with this, and it's a doxology. "Blessed be the Lord." The word "the Lord," if you're in your Bible, is all capitalized. It means the one who redeems your soul. And it says, "the God of Israel." God there is capital G-O-D. God there is the strong one. So it is the strong one who's able to redeem your soul. He says, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things." What's the wondrous things? He's redeemed you, the poor, the needy. "Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory." His glory of redeeming his creation. And you are part of his creation. He redeems the souls of men who have rebelled against him since the fall. And David says, "Amen and amen." Brothers and sisters, may that be our prayer as well. Amen and amen. Shall we close in prayer? Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. And all God's children said, Amen.